Hey y'all, it's Justine Mentor from Mentor Management. I'm an LA-based dance choreographer and educator turned career coach, and I'm all about inspiring, motivating, and educating professional dancers. I'm so excited to bring you Dance Careers Unfiltered, where we chat about the nitty-gritty behind the business side of the entertainment industry, the stuff that people don't know they need to know. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Dance Careers Unfiltered. Today, I'm chatting with a dear colleague of mine, Julie Friedrich, about all things college dance. I've known Julie for maybe 7 years now, and she is always super open and knowledgeable about the world of dance and college dance programs. We chat about paving your own way and not waiting for opportunities, how college dance programs are getting more and more competitive, and how to get ahead when you are starting fresh in a new environment. Please welcome Julie.
Hey. How are you?
Amazing. Let's just like jump straight in.
Sure.
And just tell everybody who you are. And I know it's always a tall order, but just give us a little quick synopsis of your time in the dance world.
Okay. I am Julie Rose Friedrich, formerly known as Julie Rose Shulman. I was born in New York and raised in Los Angeles. I was trained by Meredith Bayless, who had a ballet studio in Studio City, California. And later on in my training, I did attend the Los Angeles County High School for the Arts for 10th and 11th grade. I left in 12th grade to join a youth ballet company in San Francisco called Bay Area Youth Ballet, which was amazing and very transformative for me. From there, I was an apprentice with American Repertory Ballet in New Jersey for 1 year when I was 18 under the direction of Septim Weber, who I admire very much. And he's a contemporary choreographer. And I really, really found my sort of passion for movement within his, you know, style. And then I joined Le Grand Ballet Canadien in Montreal for 2 years and was exposed to many contemporary choreographers, European choreographers that I'd never been exposed to before, and the classics and Balanchine, et cetera, et cetera. From that experience, I moved myself to Europe because I wanted a more contemporary career. And I sort of did not see anything for myself in the United States. So I danced between Bern, Switzerland, Zurich, Switzerland, and in Catania, Sicily, so in Italy, for probably, I think it was like the following 5 years, you know, with like small different project-based companies. And then, unfortunately, I tore my entire ACL one day in rehearsal in Italy, which brought me back to Los Angeles for fully reconstructive surgery. And from that, I found my passion for teaching and mentoring, just because that was really the only thing I could do. I did come back to full dancing after my surgery, about a year later. And I was one of the founding members of the company Body Traffic, which is based in Los Angeles. But I also started teaching at the Orange County High School for the Arts, Los Angeles County High School for the Arts, and doing a lot of like private work during that time just to keep myself busy. And through that is sort of where my career in teaching and mentorship began.
I love that. I love that there's like things that I'm learning about you right now. This seems like a good place as any to remind you of some of the freebies I offer and how to find them. You can find my latest Reels cheat sheet, super great for planning out your reel shoot or just some video content creation, at justinementor.com/reels. I also offer a free class on my concept of the digital dance bag, which is an approach to organizing your online submissions for any kind of job. And of course, you can always jump into a free 20-minute one-on-one consultation that you can find at justinementor.com/shop. Also, brand spanking new, if you're an avid listener of the podcast, I finally have a way you can support more than you already do by becoming a podcast producer. For $5 a month, fans of Dance Careers Unfiltered who want to support, make a production impact, and get their voices heard can visit justinementor.com/podcast to learn more. Back to the episode. Europe must have been amazing.
Europe was amazing. And for me, I think that the experience I had working in Italy specifically with different dancers and choreographers and just the exposure to a different view on dance really impacted and influenced my entire career and also the way I teach, because I was very fortunate in Italy to have really phenomenal ballet masters and rehearsal directors and teachers. And I sort of emulate everything they brought to me.
That's awesome. And I like what you said too, that you moved yourself there. Was this like, I want to go and dance in Europe, so I'm just going to go and do that? Can
yes,
you talk
I didn't,
more about that?
Yes. I didn't have like a big company job or anything. I just instinctively was like, I need to go to Europe because that is what I want to pursue. Specifically, it's the kind of work that I really love. So I literally took a massive step in some way backwards and went, you know, from being in Le Grand Ballet Canadien, which is like a big, you know, reputable company, to then being in like a very, very, very small youth contemporary company in Zurich, Switzerland. And I did that because I honestly couldn't find a job anywhere, but I learned, I was fortunate there to work with a choreographer from Italy who then took me with him to Italy. But I learned everything that I know now about modern and contemporary through that experience.
Amazing. I like that you were like, I'm literally taking the leap and doing this on my own and just trusting that. I know, I'm sure you have a lot of students and mentees that say this a lot, but it's like, you wait for opportunity. And sometimes it really just doesn't come and you have to take matters into your own hands.
And you like, I mean, this is kind of why I feel like I am a good mentor, because there is no straight path. There's no direct path. And I never, what I thought for myself was going to happen and what I wanted to happen is absolutely not what happened or the direction that I went. And I had to just keep creating things for myself. And I remember when I lived in Europe, a very good friend of mine that I made when I was dancing in Switzerland, she was from Spain. We would get on the train every weekend and go to a different city in Germany and just like do auditions. We must have done like 60 so auditions fun. and we got nothing. But, you know, it's like you just like there are those days that you're like, OK, this is not working, but you just keep going. And then somehow you find your way. So it's not going to be a lot of acceptances. I always tell kids, you need one acceptance to open the door. You need another acceptance to then get into a company. You have to keep going when the rejections are thrown in your face.
Totally. I feel like that's just like the name of the game for everybody. Like you can't get around it. That is what it's going to be.
That is
forever.
What it's going to be. And I have students now that get so distraught over one rejection. And literally, yeah. I'm like, if this is you, you're not going to last in this business. So you have to find a different way to be. Because there's going to be like, for every one yes, you probably have easily 50 rejections.
Yeah. And you don't have like a boss or... I mean, hopefully you have a great support system around you, but you don't have like a person who's in charge of you, right? Even your if you have an agent, like if you're on the commercial side, which is mostly what I deal with, mm-hmm. and you know, they're working for you or with you. They're not your boss telling you what to do. So it's like, you always have to take the reins. You always have to be in charge of that. And even when you're having that rejection, it's like, no, I got to just pick myself up and keep going. You got to have that, the cojones to do.
And all, I mean, you, myself, all the people that I'm, you know, surrounded by who are my colleagues and dear friends, I'm sure the same for you. The people that have made it in the business, like the hustlers, you just keep going and working and finding and creating. It's the people that just sit around waiting. It's just never going to happen. It doesn't even matter how good you are.
Totally. I think we like all got like screwed back in the day with the notion of being discovered. Do you remember? Like, do you feel like maybe back in the day it was like, well, you're going to be discovered and you're going to have this talent and everyone's going to find you. And you're like, no, especially now when the invisibility is like massive, it makes it even harder.
And even in like, you know, when I got into Les Grandes, I mean, I never expected to get into Les Grandes. I went on a whim to the audition and I just kept getting, making it past the cuts. I didn't even know what was going on. And even then, like, I had my big break and I was in a huge company and it was very, you know, well known across the world, et cetera, et cetera. And then 2 years later, I was out of that company. So, you know, you have to keep finding and pushing.
Absolutely. I know I use the analogy a lot, and I can't even keep track how many episodes I've said this on, and I'm hoping it's not too many to where this is just too much. But it's like you use somebody who's like really in a position of fame, right? Or they've made it, like Brad Pitt. Do you think Brad Pitt is like sitting at home being like,
no,
la-di-da, I'm fine with what I'm doing? No, he's like gonna produce now and gonna do this, and who knows? But it just keeps going and doesn't actually stop.
That is correct. And even when we were dancing, and I'm sure, you know, obviously the same for you, almost the entire time of my career in Europe, especially in Italy, I taught in like tiny little Italian studios just to like make money and like keep myself connected. You know, it's like you just have to find the way. You just start inventing things for yourself so that you basically create your own career.
100%. I mean, like literally, what am I doing right now? This is, I mean, where did this come from?
Right. And to be very honest with you, the whole college and career mentorship program that I now really run and direct, honestly, I created it like I literally made it up because I was like, there's nobody doing this. And I saw the need. I had no idea in the beginning what I was doing. None, zero. But I just made it up.
Yeah. So segueing to that, tell us about this that you created.
Okay. So, you know, it really started again when I tore my ACL and I had reconstructive surgery. And I remember at the same time, just about 6 months prior, my teacher, Meredith Bayless, she passed away, leaving behind many students that were here that still needed training and mentorship and guidance, et cetera. So because I was here, I sort of filled that void. And I remember a student and a friend now that I'm very close to coming to me, and she was 17. She's a young Peruvian American girl. And she said, Julie, I need your help getting into Juilliard. And I was like, all right, let's do it. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, but let's just do it. And she did get in, and she was the first Peruvian American student to ever be admitted into dance. And I really, like, from her, I was like, oh, I'm very good at this. Like, I know what I'm doing to like help these kids get into college. And from that, little by little, it grew. And then I started doing it when I was at OSHA, the Orange County High School for the Arts. I proposed to Stephen Hyde, my most phenomenal director of a program. I proposed to him that I run this program called, you know, College Mentorship for Dancers. And it was like once a week after school or something. He was like, sure, let's do it. And out of that program, we had so much success. And year by year by year, more success, more success, more success. Then I brought it to Los Angeles County High School for the Arts. And I did a lot of it on my own, through just myself, right? Finding students. And then I approached Francisco Gela, who I now work very, very closely with. And I was like, this is my program. This is what I have. And he was like, let's do it. Let's like involve it in all the national work we do. So that's when it really, really sort of like took hold and exploded. I am now the, I think my title is Associate Director of Collegiate and Career Planning at Francisco Gela Dance Works. And every year it grows. I mean, I already this year have 14 juniors that will be seniors next year. And the list will grow even more as the year goes on. I mentor probably between 20 to 30 students a year for collegiate acceptance through dance. And why I really started it is because nobody was doing this, and it is a completely separate application process. Applying to college as a general applicant is one thing, but applying in an art form is a completely separate thing. And it is incredibly, incredibly daunting and hard and stressful and so detail oriented. And there's college counselors all across the nation charging a bazillion dollars for, you know, acceptance into Harvard and Princeton and Yale, et cetera. And I was like, why is no one doing this for dancers, right? So I had a lot of mentors along the way. I had Stephen Hyde at at OSHA, who was really a champion of mine. I had Gina Bunce at LOXA, who was another champion of mine and like allowed me to bring the program in. And I was really fortunate enough to be working with such talented young dancers. Same thing with Francisco. Francisco, you know, we attract really, really interesting, diverse, talented dancers. And the kids that I usually work with from year to year are brilliant in many ways, not just dance. So that's kind of how it started and where it's going. And like I said, every year it grows and I'm still like shocked that I have so many people coming to me and finding me like out of the woodworks, but it's flattering and it's really my passion project.
Amazing. Do you have a separate company outside of being the associate director of In Francisco Gala stuff, or is it mostly through
Jeffrey, Francisco's husband, who's another, you know, dear colleague and friend of mine, we brought my program into the fold under their umbrella, like okay. I said, probably 5 years ago. All my clients now find me through the website, and we host because of the pandemic and Zoom and feeling like, oh, we can actually do this right remotely. I host also a ton of college webinars online throughout the whole year. And then I have tons of students because of that finding me and coming to me privately.
Amazing. How did you find out about all the college programs? Like, is that through people's interest in them? And just over the years, you find out what's going on and they go to those schools? Or have you gone to all these places? Like, what's the process like of you like knowing all these programs?
You know, what's so funny about all this is that I did not go to college. Right. Because when I started dancing as a ballet dancer, I left high school at 17 and I was in a ballet company by the time I was 19. So ballet dancers at that time never went to college, but I did spend one summer at Juilliard. And that really like opened my eyes to like what was out there. And that was an unforgettable experience for me. But I think just slowly working, I mean, I've now been doing this for like 20 plus years, this college mentorship, slowly through working with kids, you start to know and learn so much about programs, collegiate programs, and teaching in the arts high school world, which is where I taught for so long, that's what they're really feeding into. So you slowly start just gaining so much knowledge. And now, I mean, now it's really, really essential. And I really highly suggest you go to college, whether it's for dance or non-dance, but you go. And because of the moment we're in and college dance programs have become so, so good, I mean, there's just so much happening in the collegiate world of dance, and I follow it through all my students that are past students. I follow it through them. That's my best information. My best knowledge is talking to all the students I've worked with who are in the programs, who were in the programs. And I love that relationship. And it's really amazing what's going on. And but still, I have to stay up on the information all the time because the scene is always shifting. Directors are leaving, faculty's changing, programs are changing identities. And so I always have to stay up on it. However, working with Francisco and our third member, whose name is Usha Sorzano, who's just the most amazing teacher, artist, dancer, mentor, everything. She also is very connected in that world. So through all of my colleagues, I stay connected in that, you know, what's happening sort of scene.
So cool. It is like this little unique niche that you have carved out. So interesting.
And I also definitely, it really helps. And I find that it's so ironic in a way that I teach full-time in Los Angeles at the Windward School, right? And Windward is a very, very high-level collegiate preparatory academy. I think I've taught there for around 11 years. So I was also so fortunate to work under Alicia Young, who allowed me, she championed my collegiate dance master's program to be brought into Windward. So I do it at Windward also for the dancers that we have. But awesome. through working in that atmosphere of being at a collegiate prep school, I learned so much all the time about schools that might not be, you know, dance conservatories or dance based, but that have strong programs. And I'm just like constantly absorbing, you know, what the academic counselors are doing at the same time that I'm doing my dance work.
So interesting.
It is
so what
interesting.
Is what do you think that it is it very difficult to get into dance programs these days? Is it has it gotten harder? Like what's that scene like?
It is very, very hard. I thought, I mean, it, every year it gets harder. And because of the pandemic, we sort of had like a backup of dancers who did not apply, let's say in 2020, 2021, because they didn't want to do it remotely or online, which I totally understand. So now we have this influx, right? And also dancers just keep getting better. Dancers keep getting better and dancers keep getting more versatile. So they can do everything and they're good at it. And they realize they need to go to school. So I thought last year's admissions was harsh and brutal. And this year is 10 times harder. And all the good kids want the same five schools. And I, when I work with a student, you know, one-on-one, and I've been meeting with juniors this whole week, and I say to them, listen, I used to say, make your list like 8 to 10 schools. This can be a safety. This can be a safety, you know, et cetera. And now I'm like, the list needs to be like 14 and minimum for me. And we need to do everything in our power to get a leg up on getting into a school prior to like admission season. And there's a couple ways you can do that, but it's brutal. And what's brutal about it even more so now is that even if you're the best dancer in your studio and you're phenomenal, it's not a shoo-in. It's just not a shoo-in anymore. Programs are changing and they're looking for very, very different things. You also have to be very smart and be an academic at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. And these kids put an enormous amount of pressure on themselves to get into their, what they think is their dream school. My motto always is, the program does not make you, you make the program. And I absolutely firmly believe that. I mean, you could go to Cal State Long Beach, which is, you know, 30 minutes from me, and they have an amazing faculty and you could get a stellar, stellar experience if you make it amazing. You could also go to Juilliard, and I've sent many kids to Juilliard that then do not make it amazing for themselves and then flounder around for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. So you make the program. And also it's very, very expensive these days to be a dancer and go into like, let's say $400,000 of debt over 4 years. Wow. You're never going to pay that back as a dancer. So I always encourage kids to diversify the list and create options, which includes scholarships and finances.
That's really smart. Yeah. How do you make that back? I mean,
you don't, you really
are most
don't.
Most of the dancers you work with, are they trying to get into more ballet centered programs? Or are these just kind of all across the board programs?
So when I started this, almost 100% of my kids were concert contemporary, all looking for that like very European career. Wanted to go to Juilliard, a lot to NYU, to USC, to SUNY Purchase, et cetera. But in the last 3-4 years, I've attracted a lot of ballet kids who want to go to, you know, Butler, Indiana, Utah, because those are our three best ballet universities. Still a lot of concert, but also a lot of commercial kids. A ton of commercial kids who just know that they have to do more than jazz and hip hop, and they want an education and they want a degree. So I've attracted a lot more commercial kids, but I've also attracted a lot more, and I think this is from Windward, thank God, academics who use dance to enhance their overall general application, which is so, so smart and should be done. I have a lot more academics coming to me as well who may not want to pursue dance at the conservatory level.
Yeah, or professionally.
Or professionally, right. Exactly. Want to like go in, like I have an amazing student, you know, this year. And I think, you know, she's going to go into journalism and she used dance to enhance her application. I mean, it's not an in or an out, but it's like the icing on the cake.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anything that can give you an edge, I feel like.
Anything that can give you an edge. And I always, I mean, I've kept this motto with me my entire life. Also, when I was teaching at the Orange County High School for the Arts, I used to look at the collegiate map that they put out in the, like the waiting area. And I would always see like all these pins of students in all the Ivy Leagues. And I'm like, how in the world are all of these artists getting into all these Ivy Leagues? And I remember asking the counselor, and the counselor was like, Ivy Leagues are looking for students that excel greatly in one area. So I took that with me, and I absolutely think you should use that to enhance like your overall appeal. I mean, it's not, I mean, I talk to the academic counselors at Windward all the time now, and it's not just about grades and SAT scores anymore. You have to be so much more than that.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like
it's so stressful. It's very stressful.
Oh my God. And then these are just kids.
I mean, these are just kids
in high school. You know, it's like, it's hard to know. I mean, I remember not knowing what I wanted. I was like, I like a lot of things. I don't know exactly what it is I want to commit to for that many years or even after school. Like I went to Indiana, but not for dance.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
And I didn't even take a single ballet class there. Like, why wouldn't I do that? I did like a student run dance company that I loved, and it was a great outlet, you know, beyond just like studying what I was studying. But I didn't take a single, I took dance classes, but it wasn't within, it wasn't ballet.
And in a way, I always support, for, you know, for the students that are already at the prodigy level and that like basically are sort of burned out by the time senior year rolls around and they want a different experience. I say, you know what? Go and have a different experience. Live your life. And dance will find you, and you will find dance if it's meant to be. But, you know, the arts are very harsh. And being in, you know, it's like, you know, kids don't understand. Once you even get into one of these top level programs, you're then starting over from zero again. You're then the bottom of the barrel again, right? It is very hard. So if it's not your absolute passion and you don't want that 100%, I don't encourage kids to do it unless they want it 100%.
Yeah.
Because you will come back to dance.
Absolutely. If it's
meant to be, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I mean, this was so long ago for me, but like 20 years ago, let's say, I didn't think that dance was like a viable professional career path. So I didn't know anything, you know, I didn't have someone like you, or I wasn't in one particular place. Like I wasn't really deep into the dance competition world, and I wasn't deep into ballet at that point anymore. So didn't feel like there was anything viable for me to hang on to. And it was like where I grew up, everyone was like 4-year university, you got to go study business, you got to do this, and that's what you got to do. And then, like you said, dance found me.
And that's so interesting. well, that's was meant to be for you. Yeah. But that's so interesting what you say, because probably the number one question I get when we do on our webinars, when we do our webinars across the country on Zoom, are from parents saying, is this a viable career? I mean, dance isn't a viable career, right? Like, I don't want my student to, you know, my child to be a dancer. And, you know, my dear friend Usha, who I work with, she said to me, but why not? It's such an honorable profession. And the last thing you want, and we know this as moms, the last thing you ever want for your child is to regret that they didn't do it or pursue it. And I think, honestly, absolutely for sure, if you come out of a top level university or conservatory program with a degree, just the name and having the degree will carry its own weight. Doesn't matter that it's in dance. If you come out of the Fordham Ailey program, the New York University Tisch program, the USC Kauffman program, you know, the University of Utah program, it's still a very, very prestigious degree. And dancers somehow always succeed. But what you're saying is true. It's the lack of knowledge. And I do find it more when I go out, when my students come from more probably that like not in LA or in New York or a San Francisco, when it's like outside of the epicenters of dance, the parents and the student have no idea what I'm talking about when we meet. And I literally have to walk them through every single step and say, oh, there's so many options, but it's a lack of knowledge. And in some way, it's the studios that are not, I mean, the good studios, they're doing wonderful educating of the parents and the students, right?
Right.
But a studio that doesn't know, they're not giving the information to the students. And then the students aren't prepared for when they leave. And then they usually leave dance and do not pursue it when they maybe could have.
Right. Wow. Yeah, there's so many nuances to this. Okay, so what would be your biggest piece of advice then for dancers who are looking to pursue a career in dance, not just at the collegiate level, but even beyond? It's a tall order.
It's a tall order. A couple things.
Something
number one,
like non-technical based.
You have to be a hustler. That's it. You absolutely, every single day, day in, day out, in some way, you're fighting to make your way. And when the rejections come, which even for the best of us, it will come, you have to go past it. You have to be super, like a superwoman or superman in your mind, and be so mentally tough that you know you have something to offer and you keep trying to find it. That would be my best piece of advice.
Such a good one.
It's hard out there. It's very, very hard. And you're always starting over. You know, it's a like, oh, then I went to Juilliard. Okay, you started over at Juilliard. Then you finally got in a company. Oh, you start over every time you get in a new company and you have to prove yourself again. And in the tougher moments, like when I was an understudy, like for a whole year and like never dancing, was very discouraging. But I kept going, and I should have soaked it in more. But I also take the negatives that I had in my career with my own self and use those as lessons to tell kids, don't do that. Don't do that.
Absolutely.
It's very hard out there.
Well, they're just lucky to have someone like you to guide them in this endeavor.
It's a lot. And I do think I was very blessed in my life to have a phenomenal teacher and phenomenal mentors. And I work with amazing colleagues who I treasure and trust every second. And I have to be like, all of us as educators are the vessels to pass on the information. Like, that is our responsibility. And I take that like very seriously, probably too seriously, but we have to be passing it on or the next generation isn't coming up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always tell you, like, the majority of the reason that I come back to y'all is because I just highly respect and enjoy being around you and Alicia. You know, that's so much of it, you know?
And that to us, we're very flattered by that.
Yeah. I'm like, I just want to hang out with you. So I'm going to come in. It doesn't matter when I'm coming.
And you make the drive and it's so far and you're still, but I find that, you know, I work next, like literally side by side next to Alicia for, I don't know, 11 years. And, you know, we have the most amazing relationship, work and, you know, out of work, but it's these relationships, you know, Alicia, Francisco, Usha, Stephen Hyde, like, you know, you have those people and they make you want to do better, but it's also because you enjoy it.
Absolutely. And they keep you inspired to do what you want to do.
To do your best work, keep you on your toes. Yeah,
totally. I know that's always my pun when people are like, what do? And I'm like, well, you know, just all things dance or whatever. And then they're like, wow, that sounds awesome. I'm like, yeah, it keeps me on my toes.
There you go. I love that. Dun-dun. I really love that.
So silly. Even though I haven't done point in like 17 years.
But you did
way
point.
More. Way
but
more.
At one point in your life, you were in the point shoes. So that's what matters.
I was.
That's what matters.
I really did enjoy that, except it really messed with my feet forever.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, geez.
Obviously. Okay. So tell everyone where they can find you online.
Okay.
So they can find more about you.
Sure. See here. The easiest one is on Instagram at Miss Julie, MissJulie 1220, Miss Julie 1220 on Instagram. And then they can always find me through franciscogelladance.com, where I have my entire collegiate program on the website and also, you know, the other dance programs that we do run, but they can find me there too. They can come find me somewhere in Los Angeles at the Windward School if they like, or on the Windward website. But basically everything lives on franciscogelladance.com, or they can always find me through my Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Absolutely.
Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to check out mentor.management on Insta and justinementor.com/mentormanagement. That's MNTRMGMT. Check out the show notes to find links to my offerings and today's guest. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show. See you next time.